Good evening. As has already been indicated by to you, we appreciate so much your presence tonight. We have an excellent audience, number-wise and quality-wise as well. Singing again tonight, as has been each time we've gathered together, has been outstanding as we have offered our praise to God in song. I want to especially, we have several congregations of the Church of Christ here this evening, and we appreciate your presence. Several of you, I know the Pentego congregation, the Durham Church of Christ congregation is here, and the Clinton congregation is represented, and others as well. But I know also I just got to have special mention to the Oak Forest congregation in Goldsboro. They are our spiritual family down that part of the country. As you know, we spent just 6 months shy of 20 years living among them, working among them, they putting up with me. And so I appreciate them so very much and love them dearly, and they love us. And it's great to see them drive up as well. Also, the Lillington congregation is represented tonight, and probably others that I have overlooked. Forgive me! Forgive me if I overlooked you this evening, but it's good that you're here. We're so glad that you came and to worship God with us. The lessons this week, as those who have been here each time are very much aware, per the request of our elders here, has been designed primarily, at least focused, on those of us who are members of the Church of Christ. We need to be encouraged to stay focused, all of us, whether we are members of the Cary congregation, we are members of the Lexington congregation, or wherever we may be from. If we are members of the body of Christ, we need to be reminded from time to time that we need to stay focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay focused on our responsibility to serve Him faithfully. We need to stay focused on our respect and reverence for the authority of the Scriptures. And so that's what I've been trying to do this evening, this week, I mean, to help us to stay focused, or remind us to stay focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and renewing our commitment to Him. And so this evening, in about 20 or 30 minutes from now, we're going to be singing a song of encouragement. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation to rededicate your life to the Lord, we want to encourage you to do that. But we're also very much aware that there may be those present tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ. Before the lesson concludes this evening, you will hear God's plan of redemption. You will hear what God wants you to do, what God commands you to do in order to be saved and be added to the body of Christ. We encourage you, if you understand what God wants you to do, please give consideration to obeying the gospel even this night. If you want to become a Christian, but maybe you don't understand what's presented tonight and you need more instruction, more help in studying God's Word, we would welcome the opportunity to spend time with you in that effort as well. But you've been a great audience, and I want to say, as I've already said before this week, how much I appreciate you for being here each night this week so far, because you've worked hard all day. You've gone to your jobs, you've put in 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever it may have been, and many of you probably have come here tonight, maybe not even had your dinner meal yet. For those of us outside the city, that's supper. But maybe you haven't had your supper meal, your dinner meal yet, and so therefore we want to especially say thank you for your dedication and your love for the Lord and His Word. And that's the reason I want to remind you, because how much I appreciate the effort that you have put forth this week for each one of these lessons. And that's how much, the reason I want to remind you, you don't want to miss tomorrow night's lesson. You don't want to miss it, because tomorrow night's lesson is going to be something different than you've heard all week. Well, somewhat different. Not the same, at least the title would be different. But now, tomorrow night's lesson will be entitled, "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep." Now, that's what some of you have been wanting to do all week. And so now we will have a lesson on "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep." Don't want to miss that lesson tomorrow night. But tonight's lesson is entitled, "To Whom or To What Are We Committed?" To what are we committed as individuals living in the world today? To whom or to what are we committed? Several years ago, Someone asked the question that I've heard asked in various ways several times through the years. And the question was, why are people not turning to Christ in large numbers? Why are people not stopping and taking the time to look at the Lord's church? Take a serious look and investigate the Lord's church as revealed in Scripture. And the one who asked that particular question on this occasion said, aren't they interested? Do they not care? Why are people not interested? Well, in response to that, someone else said, well, they are looking for bold fellowship. And they find a complacent society concerned to an absurd degree about their own internal politics, or are so unimaginative as to suggest that the world can be saved by three hymns and a sermon. The church is looked upon by many as something that is welcomed partly because it is a nice building, is a nice place to have a family wedding. It's also a good place to send children on Sunday morning. They might learn something. And certainly the experience will not do them any harm. End quote. In other words, this individual that's responded to that, why are people not investigating the church more often than they are? And the response was, because when they visit us, they find a complacent congregation. They find a congregation of God's people that are perfectly comfortable in their own, with their own little group or own large group, whatever the case may be, and outsiders are not made to feel welcome. They are concerned with their own internal politics or their own internal comforts or their own internal problems, and they're not concentrating on what the work of the Lord really is, and that is evangelism. If the work of saving souls. Brethren, when I read that, I consider that a serious indictment of the Lord's church. I consider that a serious indictment. And yet I took that and examined my heart, myself, and I looked at the congregation with which I work, and does that describe me? Does that describe the congregation where I work? And so tonight, I am challenging this congregation and those that are represented here tonight. Does that, in your judgment, does that describe, number one, does it describe you? Are you among those who are complacent? Are you among those who are satisfied with your own internal group and not really concerned about others who may come in among you? And does it describe, in your judgment, the congregation of which you are a part? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, we recognize that passage of Scripture. We refer to it as the limited commission when the Lord sent the disciples out among the Jews, and He sent them with the commission to preach the gospel. Matthew 10 and verse 7, He told them that they were to preach, saying, what? The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, the disciples on that occasion were charged by the Lord to preach to those that they saw in the cities. They were to preach to them that the kingdom, that is the church, was at hand. And then He tells them in verse 8 of Matthew 10 that they were to heal the sick, and they were to cleanse the lepers, they were to raise the dead, and they were to cast out demons. Then notice in verses 16 through 26 of Matthew 10. Having said what He just said in verses 7 and 8, in verses 16 through 26, our Lord told them that they were, listen to this, they were going to be among the midst of wolves. He was sending them as it is among the midst of wolves. And he tells them to be careful, but what? Do not be afraid. Now listen to this, stay with me. Our Lord, to his disciples, his apostles, on this occasion, sending them to limited commission, I'm sending you, as it were, among the wolves. Think about that. He's sending them among the wolves. In other words, it wasn't going to be necessarily a pleasant task. If someone told you, I'm going to send you to the wolves, what would you say? I would try to talk them out of it, wouldn't you? The Lord is that I'm sending you, as it were, among wolves. Okay, now, having said that, look at verses 34 through 39 of Matthew chapter 10. And notice Jesus says, do not think that I come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, to set a daughter against her mother, to set a daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Did you notice that passage? Now, let me ask you a question. Does that sound like a statement coming from Jesus our Lord? Does that sound like something Jesus would say? Is that the Jesus we know? Is that the Jesus that we read about in the Bible? Is that the one that, would our Lord, would Jesus Christ, the one you and I know as our Savior, would He say that I did not come to bring peace but a sword? Would Jesus say that? Is it the one that you and I know in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14? What an angel said of him, glory to God in the highest and on earth, and peace and goodwill toward men. Or how about Matthew 5 and verse 9, when he himself said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Or what Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen to that. On one hand, we have Jesus saying, I'm sending you among wolves. And on the other hand, then he says, in the same breath, that I do not think that I came to bring peace. Did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And to divide mother and father and son, mother and daughter, in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, father-in-law, and son-in-law. Brother and sister. I come to bring division in the household. And he who loves father and mother more than me isn't worthy of me. Then on the other hand, blessed are the peacemakers. Now if we don't understand what our Lord is saying, we could very readily see a contradiction. So how do we reconcile these statements of our Lord? The statements from Him and the statements regarding Him and peace. First of all, let me suggest to you that the words of our Lord upon sending the apostles out into the midst of wolves, this had to do with the effect of His ministry, not the purpose of His ministry. We must understand that. It's the effect of His... You see, the purpose of His ministry was to make peace. But the effect of His ministry was chaos and division and strife. Why is it? We see Jesus wanted the people of His day. And He wants us today to understand that following Him is going to be difficult. Understand, brethren? We need to understand. We need to make sure that those with whom we are studying with, that they count the cost. That they understand that their obeying the gospel requires commitment. When I studied with someone, I spend time with them, giving them the plan of salvation and making sure they understand the organizational structure of the church and all that needs to be understood. But also want them to understand their lifelong commitment. Amen? They need to understand they are making a commitment to the Lord. And it isn't always going to be easy. Several years ago, a woman said to me, she and her husband had been separated for 15 years. Her husband did not want her. Just to put it bluntly. He did not want her, and for 15 years, bless her heart, she wanted her husband back. And one day she said to me, "Robert, if I am baptized, will my husband come back to me?" I said, "No. That's not what Jesus died for." I'm not trying to be ugly, not trying to be unkind, but you see, that's not what Christ died for. And her being baptized is not going to bring her husband back. Now, if he may come back, but it won't be because she was baptized. You see, brethren, we need to understand that Christ did not die to make life easy for us. He did not die for our convenience. He died for the salvation of our souls. And so the effect of His ministry is one thing. The purpose of His ministry is another. And that's the reason our Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 13 that we are to enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Why? Because narrow is the gate, and notice, and straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, in King James Version, or other versions, difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Difficult. It's difficult sometimes to live the Christian life. Now, having said all of that, to my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room this evening, I want to ask you, have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like quitting the Lord? I'm quite sure that if this audience this evening is representative of most audience, there's at least one, maybe several, that would answer that in the affirmative. Yes, I've thought about giving up. It's been tough. I had a member of the church tell me a few weeks ago, in fact last week, that he thought the Lord had forsaken him. Thought God had forsaken him. Thought about giving up. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see if we can find a solution to our struggling with the possibility of giving up. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrew writer in verses 1 through 4, listen to what he writes. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself." Notice, "lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." Now let's look at that verse in your Bibles. Look, notice as I make some comments. Notice these witnesses in verse 1. These witnesses, he said, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now in a moment we'll look and decide, consider who those witnesses are. Consider, but those witnesses. Now, since we are surrounded by such a great host of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us or ensnares us. Let us run the race. In other words, don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Look into Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, notice, if you will, the latter part of that. If we don't do the things that the writer says, if we aren't careful, we will become weary and we will become discouraged. But we need to consider one thing. We haven't shed blood for sin. Now, these witnesses, who are they? In verse 1, this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, who are they? Well, they are the ones that were named in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Notice, they were the men and women who did not quit. Amen? That was Joseph and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and others. These men and women, these are witnesses. In other words, we have them as examples of folks who stayed focused on God. They did not give up. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. They kept keeping on. When times were tough, when it would have been easy to give up and to quit, but by faith, they kept serving the Lord. In verse 2, we notice that this verse teaches us that we should look to Jesus. Notice that, it's important. We put too much emphasis on our preachers today. We put too much emphasis on our friends in the church today. We put too much emphasis on the elders today. I'm not suggesting we be disrespectful of any of them. We are to respect our elders. And we are to obey those who are over us in the Lord. And we must respect our preachers. And we must respect our friends. But brethren, we do not look into our preachers, and we do not look to our elders for salvation. Not a one of them died for us. Not a one of them died for us. The one who died for me is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's the one to whom we look, who is the author. He is the beginner, and He is the end of our salvation. The author and the finisher of our salvation. Brethren, disappoint us. Have you ever been disappointed by some of your brethren go this way? I have been disappointed by many of my brethren, and guess what? I've disappointed many of them. Why? We are human. We disappoint one another. But Jesus will never disappoint you. He is the author, the finisher of our salvation. You think living the Christian life is tough? I want you to consider a question from our text in Hebrews chapter 12. When was the last time you shed blood for the cause of Christ? That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Think about it, he says. You haven't shed any blood. Verse 4 tells us something that we already know. We haven't done that. See, we have no reason. We have no reason even to slow down in our service to the Lord, much less quit. The Lord's been too good to us. The Lord has been too good to us for us to quit. And yet, the Bible teaches in our text, Hebrews 12, that we need to be careful lest we fall. You know, quitting the Lord almost never happens immediately, does it? Slow process. I've been trying to preach for 39 years. And I can't think of a single person that has ever said to me, or I've ever had any reason to think, that he or she got up one morning and you said, you know, looked in the mirror and said, oh, I think today is the day that I'm going to quit the Lord. I think today is the day that I'm just going to quit serving the Lord. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. I've known many through the years that have slowly drifted away. Slowly drifted away. Started by missing Sunday night, maybe. Maybe a Wednesday night first. It's midweek service. Missing a midweek service from now and then. Then mentally moving, missing a Sunday night now and then. The first thing you know, they're missing a Sunday morning. And missing more. And missing more. Missing more. And after a while, they're gone. Drifted slowly. They forgot their commitment. They forgot how excited they were when they obeyed the gospel. Do you remember? I want to ask you something. No public response, of course, but in your own mind. Do you remember the day that you were baptized? Do you remember the occasion, maybe the time of the day of the week? I remember it so well. So I was baptized on Monday night, May of 1963. I remember it so well as I sat on that front pew and I was so excited I just couldn't contain myself. And I remember saying so badly, oh, I want to help other people find what I have found tonight. I couldn't believe what I had been taught that evening. How beautiful it was about the church of the Bible, the plan of salvation, and how easy it was to become a member of the church that we read about in the Bible. So excited. Oh, I wanted to help the whole world learn what I'd learned. Do you remember how excited you were? Have you always been true to your commitment? I haven't. I told you last night about how I was drifting. And I didn't realize I was drifting. I haven't always been true to my commitment to my Lord. I'm here tonight, brethren. I'm here this week to wake you up. As I was woke up. I'm here tonight to wake you up because you see, turn with me your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6. I'm here tonight to wake you up. Two reasons. One reason is that your soul might be saved. But another reason is one day you may need to wake me up. Listen to what Paul writes. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I'm here tonight to encourage you to examine your heart and your relationship with the Lord. And if you need to rededicate your life tonight, if you have seen yourself maybe sometime this week or maybe, you know, at another time and just haven't yet made any changes, but you've seen yourself slipping, this is your wake-up call. I want you tonight, more important, the Lord does, but I want you tonight to come back to the Lord. I want you tonight to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you tonight to commit to staying focused by His grace for the rest of your life on Jesus. Because one day, brethren, I may need you. I may need you to put me back on a straight and narrow path. We need to consider ourselves. You see, none of us are beyond the possibility of falling. Take heed to ourselves, lest you fall. Here's what I'm calling on you to do tonight as you commit to the Lord. I'm calling on you, number one, to commit to the Lord tonight, your life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never become a Christian, and you understand, perhaps someone has studied with you in the past weeks or months, and maybe you've been thinking about doing what the Bible teaches to become a child of God. I'm here tonight to call on you to commit your life to the Lord through faith in God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died on that cross for you. John 8, 24. You must believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. I'm calling on you tonight to repent of your sins. It means to turn away from your sin, have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude. Haven't been serving the Lord? You're going to begin serving the Lord, committing yourself to Him. Except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. We must. I'm calling on you tonight to confess your faith in Jesus as being the Son of God. With a heart a man believes, but with a mouth confession is made. Salvation, Romans 10, 10. I'm calling on you tonight to obey the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, 16. For what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, in order to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38. And we obey the gospel. We come up out of the waters of baptism. Everything, by the way, everything here is ready. We have water that's clean and warm. We have the baptismal garments back there. Everything is ready. Well, everything here is ready. The question tonight, are you ready? Have you counted the cost? Have you considered committing your life to the Lord? And will you do that this evening? Commit your life to Him in baptism for the remission of sins. He'll add you to His church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Then you are expected by the Lord, as all Christians are, to live faithfully for the Lord. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death. Receive the crown of life. I'm calling on you tonight to obey the Lord if you haven't. Those of us who have, I'm calling on us to rededicate our life. Will you join me this evening in rededicating your life to the Lord? I'm calling on us tonight to commit to reading our Bibles every day. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that you might be workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, 14, 15. Will you obey the gospel? Will you commit your life to the Lord? Will you commit to reading the Bible every day? Far too many Bibles in the Lord's church remain closed between Sunday and Wednesday, and Wednesday and Sunday. Will you commit tonight to reading your Bible? And by reading the Bible, I'm talking about more than just reading it like a newspaper, more than just reading to say you've read it, but study your Bible. Spend time with the Word of God. I'm calling on you tonight to join me in praying every day. At times, in addition to the three meals that we enjoy, to pray every day to the Lord. He communicates with us today through the Word. We communicate with Him through prayer in Jesus. Do you communicate with the Lord on a regular basis? In fact, I'm going to be so bold tonight to ask us, do we communicate with the Lord? I'm going to rephrase that. With whom do we communicate more often? With our Lord God through Jesus or our friends on Facebook? I'm going to ask you tonight, call on you tonight, to commit to working for the Lord. You're important to the Lord. One of the things I find outstanding or awesome in the Lord's church is nobody in the Lord's church is any more important than anybody else in the Lord's church. We have different roles, different talents, different responsibilities, but nobody is any more important than others. Will you commit to working for the Lord? Not everybody can do everything. I'm a living example of that. They won't let me lead singing where I preach. They tell me, you do the preaching, we'll do the singing. But you see, we can't all do everything. In fact, none of us can do everything. But all of us can do something. Amen? We can all do something. I'm calling on you tonight to commit to working for the Lord. Maybe some of you can preach. Maybe some of you can write letters. Others can visit, teach home Bible study, teach classes here at the church building, cook and sew, give money, knock on doors. On and on the list go. We can't all do everything, but we can all do something. To the members of the Cary congregation, oh, what an awesome group you have here. What a great, great family for the Lord that meets at this place. What a great opportunity the Lord has laid in your lap. And guess what? He expects a return. He expects a return. He's given you a tool in this beautiful building. And that's all it is. It's a tool. Don't become mediocre. Don't become lax now that you have a beautiful building. You had one before, but it's even more beautiful now. But don't become lax now. And I say that to you lovingly. Say that to you kindly from experience. I won't say where I was, and it wasn't Oak Forest. But I won't say where I was, but we had just built a new building. And a man came to me and said, Robert, and we were so excited. We were teaching and preaching and knocking doors and just working for the Lord. And we built this new building and moved into it. And a man came by preaching for us. And he said, Robert, don't become satisfied. He was talking to me and he was talking to the congregation. So many of us, when we get in our buildings, we think we have arrived. Don't become satisfied. This is not the goal. I say that because we became satisfied. We thought that we'd built the building now, everybody was going to come, flock. It didn't work that way. Let's not become satisfied. But just keep on keeping on for the Lord. I'm calling on you tonight to commit to being faithful Christians and working for the Lord. I'm calling on you tonight to have other Christians, members of the congregation, in your home. It doesn't have to be a pot roast or T-bone steaks. You can, and you can call me and I'll come. But it can be a cup of coffee and a slice of cake. It can be something just to some cookies and coffee, soft drinks. Get to know one another. Be a family. be closer to one another. I'm calling on you tonight to stay focused on heaven. That's the reason we do what we do for the Lord, is to go to heaven. We have an inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven, those who keep the faith. And finally, I'm calling on you to seek help. Seek help when you're weak. Ask your church family to pray for you, to bear your burden. And so tonight, I close this lesson with the question that I ask: to whom or to what are you committed? Are you committed to the Lord? Are you committed to the cares and the pleasures of this world? If it's the latter, will you tonight commit your life to the Lord in obedience to the gospel, or rededicating your life to Him? As we stand together and as we sing and encourage one another, will you come?